Welcome back to the People Show. Final hour of the show before we send you off to the weekend to enjoy the sun. Hopefully you stay safe as well. The temperatures are going to shoot up this weekend, so make sure that you're set on that. If you're looking for AC, I hope you got that done before the summer, because it's really expensive once you start getting into June and July. But just make sure you take care of yourself. But we got another hour before the weekend officially starts here on the People Show. Randeep Janda, Jamie Dodd, Ben Bassran running the board today. And we're going to get Ian McIntyre on here with us in a little bit just to talk about the Canucks' moves today. No player acquisitions, but definitely some acquisitions in the front office, where you had Scott Young joining the organization, Dale Tallon joining the organization as a senior advisor and scout. And on the coaching staff, you have some moves as well. And the promotion for Ryan Johnson. We're going to talk to IMAC about that. Also get his thoughts on his first F1 experience in Montreal. He was tweeting out videos. He was texting me some videos as well. Seemed like an awesome time for IMAC and his son. And we're going to get into that and a lot more. But one of the things I do want to hit him on. The reports that the Canucks are willing to listen to trade offers for JT Miller. That was reported by Nick Kiprios on our sister station in Toronto. I guess the question I have, Jamie, is something or nothing.
Mm.
Because we've been hearing a lot about the contract negotiations. We've been hearing about, you know, are they gonna be coming? And what's that number? And what's the move that the Canucks are going to make? With this report coming out, is it something that we kind of expected? Or is this something to say, okay, they've taken the active step by the reports to actually be, you know, lean in on this, so to speak?
You know, we'll get into it with IMAC. It's not a huge surprise to me. Let's put it that way, to hear these reports out there right now.
All right. We are joined by the man, the infinite threat. Not even triple, quadruple. I'm not even going that way anymore. Like, this man is multifaceted. They call him the Steveston Monet. He's taking pictures and painting and all of these sort of things. Ian McIntyre, what's going on?
The Steveston Monet. That's a first.
I
kind of like it. I got to admit, I kind of like it.
You are a landscape artist. Impressionist.
Water lilies.
Exactly.
Irises. Yeah, maybe. Although I, as you called me that on Twitter.
I did.
When I posted the sunset photo, the mirror reflection of a blazing sky on the water in lovely Steveston, I suggested it was more like a Turner, if people are familiar with his work, the great English master.
You're not talking Tina Turner. You're talking about a
yes. I forget what it was. J.H.W. Turner.
Okay, got it.
Landscape painter. But he had these swirling vortexes of color. I don't need to tell you this, Randeep. I know you know all about Turner.
Absolutely. I've been to the National Gallery. Come on.
Yes, pretending not to know his name. But thank you, the Steveston Monet. Will that fit on a vanity plate? If I ever decide to get a van, probably not. I'd have to shorten Steveston.
I think it'll fit on a sign in front of your house, though.
It'll fit in a Twitter bio, IMAC.
Yeah, throw eggs here. The sign out in front of my house.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to you about a lot of things, and I'm glad we got the impressionism out of the way and the landscape paintings. But the Canucks moves today, bringing in a few people, but it felt like... Yeah. And Ian, you know, let's address the one that made the most noise, but in a bit. But your takeaways from these moves today, because it felt like, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is that the Canucks front office continues to grow, and it can't grow any larger. Here we are, a couple of weeks down the road, and they added, you know, a couple of pretty big names and added some support not only to the front office but also the coaching staff.
Yeah, they're going to have to relocate hockey ops to the convention center, I think, to accommodate their needs for office space. They've gone from being what was generally regarded as one of the leanest, smallest hockey operation staff to a great big hockey operation staff remade by Rutherford and Patrick Alvin. And, you know, there's lots of people, lots of new ideas. Nothing today, though, really surprised me. Other than, I suppose, with the hires that we've seen to this point, I'm not sure that there was going to be another truckload in one day like we saw today. But nothing is really astonishing to me. I'm glad, I'm really happy that Ryan Johnson has a new title, assistant to the general manager, which I guess is different than assistant general manager because they've already got three of those. But we all know, and Rutherford had acknowledged himself a couple of times, how important Ryan Johnson's role was to the Canucks in the transition from the Benning regime to the Rutherford regime, and is a really talented youngish manager. I had him on my list as a GM candidate. Now, obviously, that would have been a really bold, kind of a long shot pick, but I think Ryan Johnson is going to be a general manager in the National Hockey League if he wishes to continue in this line of work. He's just really talented. He's got a lot of experience on the development side. Obviously, that's been his forte, but he's picked up a lot of administrative skills operating the minor league team. He has been forced by the regime change and the allocation of duties to become really familiar with the CBA and the salary cap, which is, you know, a vital component in managing any of these teams, obviously. And I'm glad he gets rewarded. I don't know if he gets more pay, but it's a nice title, and I'm relieved to see it because he really was an important part of the last regime, and I hate to see good people go just for the sake of making a point, you know, to clean house from one regime to the other. I don't buy the theory, well, if it's been bad for an organization, then everybody should go, because there's always really good people who bear little or no responsibility for what may have gone wrong in the bigger picture. And Ryan Johnson's a terrific manager. So happy for him. Interesting to see some of the other choices. Interesting to see Baby Crow come to the Canucks. Have you used that one yet?
No, that's all you. No, that's all you.
Mark Crawford's son, Baby Crow. Maybe that'll
like
catch
it
or not. Dale Tallon. Is that the hire that you said has been getting the most attention?
Yeah. So, as Randeep alluded to, I think when the news was released by the Canucks, a lot of fan reaction certainly centered on Dale Tallon and that name, even though certainly based on the title they gave him, you wouldn't think he would be as central as some of the other names they brought in. But just, you know, I'll keep it simple, IMAC. What was your reaction to Dale Tallon's name in the announcement?
Well, I was a little surprised because they have been, I think, on the whole, very progressive in what they've tried to do. And Rutherford's vision, as stated when he arrived, was all about kind of finding a new template, a new way to manage a team, and this was something that he had pondered in Pittsburgh, but wasn't able to kind of act on his vision there because there were so many incumbent people, there just wasn't space to do it. Whereas he had a broader canvas, one that Monet would be proud of, here in Vancouver to work on. And so many of the hires and what they've done has kind of skewed or trended progressive, and Dale Tallon is not that way. So I don't know what his Tallon's relationship would be with Rutherford or Alvin. But I will say this, you know, one of the things that Rutherford had stressed all along is that he wanted people with different paths in hockey and different views, and he didn't want all of one thing. So in that respect, to have an old establishment, old boys club, I guess the cynics would say, guy amongst some younger people with a lot of progressive ideas about how a team should be managed, and that I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. I'm not speaking of Dale Tallon specifically, but just to have somebody who is old school that way, I don't think is a bad thing to have in the mix when you've got so many new people. But I think probably in the end, we're going to, and maybe we're doing it right now, we're going to overthink this, because really he's a professional, he's a pro scout. So he's going to look at He's going to look at players. He's going to look at teams. The reason they wanted to add another pro scout, they really like their pro scouting division, but there's only three guys in it, or what? We're only three. Maybe there were four, actually. But Rutherford had wanted to spread the workload so that each guy would be responsible for tracking fewer teams, which would allow for more detailed tracking. I think that Dale Tallon probably is equipped to do that. It didn't go well for him in Florida, but he probably never got the credit he deserved for building the roster that went took the Chicago Blackhawks to especially its first Stanley Cup. So a lot of experience and, you know, a mixed resume. But I don't think it's a bad thing to have an old school guy. Dale Tallon specifically, I don't really know. I don't know what the relationship is. But, you know, in the end, he's going to be a pro scout, which isn't, you know, it's not a position that's going to make or break an organization or, you know, determine its success or failure. But certainly you want good people, and you want people who are going to make the right call on things.
Yeah, we've seen this play out in other markets as well, where, you know, GMs of the past have gone on to advisor roles. Dave Nonis did that in Anaheim. We saw that with John Ferguson Jr. in Boston as well, where, yeah, are they a voice? Absolutely. Are they the voice? No, there's no reason to be totally alarmed. And one of the things that the Canucks have built here also is that valuing differing opinions. Eye test versus analytics. We've heard Rutherford and Alvin talk about how analytics will have a bigger role this year. So if anything, IMAC, it does provide a bit of balance. And isn't that what you want? Like a bit of a team of rivals where you've got a lot of different types of people in the room and you're looking at every angle possible. You want to explore every angle possible.
Yeah. I mean, I think I kind of just said that, Randy. They've got these progressive voices, and they've hired younger people and people without a lot of experience. And now they're bringing in an old school guy, an old hard-boiled hockey guy. And it is quite different than the other hires. That in itself, though, doesn't make it a bad thing. In fact, it might be a good thing to, as you say, have some balance. And the way that their hockey ops is now set up, it's very much a collaborative, open forum for people in the hockey ops. Everybody has a say. There's no bad ideas. They get discussed. They try to find consensus. That's the way they approached, you know, the trade deadline. That's the way they've approached so far what's happened or is happening in the off season. And so in that respect, it's not like Benning and Weisbrod. Like if people think that that's what this is going to be with Dale Tallon, Jim Rutherford, or Dale Tallon, and that's not going to happen. That's not the way it's set up. That's not the vision that was explained, presented by Rutherford to the people who've already been hired. Like Cammy Granato wouldn't have taken this job were it not for the idea of collaboration and diverse ideas and a diverse group of people managing together. So having brought the people aboard before today that Rutherford has, that's not suddenly going to change now because Dale Tallon or any other one person is in the mix.
Your point was so good, I had to repeat it there. You're listening to the People Show. We're joined by Ian McIntyre, Sportsnet's triple threat. And Ian, reports out of the East coming in today from Nick Kyprios that, hey, listen, the Canucks are willing to listen to trade offers. That's Nick's report. I don't want to, you know, kibosh or, you know, really pump it up in either way. But is that something that we assume that would kind of, is this something new, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make here, is that there was the assumption that if they can't get a deal going, like, Rutherford's kind of mentioned that himself, right? So is this something that we should be kind of, you know, raising our eyebrows to say, wow, this is news? Or is it something that we've always assumed?
You're talking about JT Miller?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. No, and you know, Nick is plugged in, and I don't doubt the authenticity of anything he's reporting, but it's not new. You know, the outcome for the JT Miller situation has always been most likely a trade, because everybody involved has acknowledged how difficult it's going to be to find common ground on the next contract that makes sense. So as long as, but they're hopeful of doing that. I mean, that was the whole idea of not moving Miller at the deadline and taking some time here in the summer to decompress a little, let the pressure abate of the day-to-day pressures on a player in season, and just talk to him, let him think about it, talk to he and his agent, and just see what that next contract might look like. And if it turns out there's some way to find common ground, great. That would be awesome for them. He was their best player, and he's the kind of player that you can build a team around, but he's not the kind of player at age 29 with another year to go on the current deal that I think they feel they can give an 8-year max contract to. And you know, JT Miller by no means is being greedy if that's what he wants. All you have to do is look at almost everybody who's been in his situation in the last 5 years, and they've gotten max deals. And Thomas Hertl in San Jose is the most recent example, and Miller's a better player than Hertl. Hertl got 8 years at more than $8 million. So, you know, it has always been, the most likely outcome has always been that Miller's next contract, whatever that number is, whatever that parameter is, won't fit where the Canucks are. It won't fit their salary cap, but probably it won't fit their age group and what they're trying to build. And so the likelihood has always been that JT Miller will be traded, because you're not going to let that asset leave for nothing. You know, whether there's now that decision has been made by Canucks management that's just not going to work, so let's trade him. I can't say that, but I do know that they have felt all along that they need to take their time and make a decision. And if they are going to trade JT Miller, to take their time and make the best trade they can without feeling that there's an urgency that they have to do it now. You know, they didn't feel like they had to do it at the deadline. I don't think they necessarily feel like they have to do it before the draft, although certainly that's a big pressure point. And there's another pressure point right after that with free agency before teams start spending whatever cap space they may have available. But I think if Rutherford and Alvin don't feel like the right trade is there before the draft or even before free agency, then they'll hang on to JT Miller, because they do have some time on their side. It's all about gauging the pressure points and the offers. And when they align, they'll make a trade if they decide that they can't afford his next contract. And if they don't align, JT Miller will stay a Canuck a little longer.
So, Ian, of course, we wanted to talk a little hockey, talk a little Canucks a few, but we also wanted to chat F1 here quickly just before we let you go, because you, as everyone who follows you on social media will have seen, we're at the Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal last weekend. So, you know, first of all, how was that experience? And our guy Randeep is going to be going to one of the F1 events in Europe not so long from now. Do you have any tips on how to get the most out of an F1 in-person experience for Randeep?
Bring lots of money.
Okay. We need some help with that.
Bring comfortable walking shoes, because you're going to do a lot of walking.
Got it.
And be prepared just to have a fantastic time and one of the events of your life, sporting events of your life. It was everything that I had hoped it would be. This was a belated graduation gift for my son, whose grade 12 year was pretty much scrubbed from March on in 2020, and this was one of the things that we had planned to do and we couldn't do, so we went back this year. And as the dad and as the Scottish dad, I was always worried about this going wrong and that going wrong, and it was just a wonderful weekend. Really lucked out with the tickets I bought semi-blind on StubHub, because we ended up in one of the best grandstands. But there was an awful lot of hiking involved to get to our grandstand at the end of the track. But it was fantastic. It was, yeah. Just take money. talking about, like, you know, $70 t-shirts and $100 cap. I saw a $100 cap. I almost bought it on principle because I've never seen a $100 cap, like a $100 retail cap, but didn't buy that. But I did get a couple of t-shirts, so.
Okay. So I'm actually going to order them in advance of the event and then have the merch while I'm there. I'm not going to buy there. So I've learned from the mistakes of others. So thank you very much, IMAC.
But I do have, and we talked about this, Randy, because you had made your French Grand Prix plans before I finalized my Montreal Grand Prix plans, because I was humming and hawing, and I did it, and I'm really glad I did. But I had Grand Prix envy. Even after I bought Montreal, because I thought, but Randeep's going to France. But your experience is going to have to be pretty good to top mine, because it was a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, to take people behind the scenes, before we do any sort of TV hit, there's a lot of conversations. But people think we talk about, hey, JT Miller, Jim Rutherford. In advance of our TV and web hit that day, Ian, me and you are planning our Grand Prix experiences. So there you go. When you think we do homework, we're actually planning vacations.
Yes. Yes, all the stuff. Well, we talk so much hockey all the time. I've talked about some other things.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad you had a great time, and I guess we'll be seeing each other and talking to each other a lot more as this off season continues. Once the Cup final's over, it gets real, IMAC, and I look forward to chatting again.
Well, I'll look forward to that, too. And don't check any bags unless you absolutely have to.
Okay.
Carry on
Thank
only.
You. Thank you. I'm going to call you before I leave as well. I need to write this all down and check in with you. All right, IMAC.
See you guys.
The Steve Stinmonet, Ian McIntyre, just keeps on adding. Look at that, like travel expert as well.
From
this guy's like Rick Steves, man.
Opens with art history, right? Great hockey analysis in the middle, and then closes with fantastic F1 travel advice. Just the total package.
Just unbelievable. This Ian McIntyre is the gift that keeps on giving.
Him and Lex Luger, the total package.
They're going to say the narcissist. Remember Lex Luger was? That he had played that character in WWF?
Yes.
I was like, where's Jamie taking this? No, anything
that was,
but.
That was Lex Luger, right? The total package?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He was more known as the total package than he was the narcissist. So that's a me problem, not a you problem. Your Vancouver Canadiens are back at the Nat. For tickets and info, visit CanadiansBaseball.com. See you at the Nat. Folks, we're late on this. It's 2:20, not 3:20, but it is time for Don't At Me.
Your takes uninterrupted. Don't At Me. Text in your submissions to 650-650.
Don't at me. I said, what's up?
That's right. Time for Don't At Me, brought to you by LeaseBusters. Get out of your vehicle lease with ease, confidence, and a LeaseBusters leasing specialist to guide you through the journey. Go to LeaseBusters.com to start the process today. All of this week, we've been giving away prizes for the best submission. Prizes, 2 tickets to the Nooner at the Nat on July 1st, Canada Day, as the Canadians take on Spokane. 650-650, coming with a hot take, a scorching take, maybe a controversial take. We'll take them all. The best one wins tickets to the Nooner at the Nat on Canada Day. What's better than, you know, afternoon baseball?
Perfect.
And then later on in the evening, you can do whatever you want, but start off your Canada Day with some baseball.
Perfect Canada Day experience. I'll lead this one off. Don't at me. The New York Knicks are going to continue to be the New York Knicks for the foreseeable future. They cannot get out of their own way. Chance to use a lottery pick last night? Nope. We'll get some future heavily protected picks that probably won't turn out to be any good down the road. Years down the road, instead of using this pick tonight.
Yeah, okay. I was watching that, not on TV, but like kind of real time on Twitter. Okay, they're trading. They're dumping salary. What are they doing? Absolutely nothing. I don't even understand. Like, Knicks fans, Canucks fans think they have it bad. And listen, it's kind of similar. The Knicks had a height in the 70s where they won a couple of championships so long ago that Phil Jackson was a player on both of those teams. That's how long it's been. But since 71, like the Canucks, the Knicks have never had any sort of success. And you know what makes it worse? It's the center of the media world, the global financial world. Like, you should have clout. You should be able to do things and come with good teams year after year, at least a couple of times in a decade. Jamie, they can't do that.
The
man.
Basketball culture in New York is off the
Rucker
charts.
Rucker Park.
The lineage of great players that have come from New York City.
Yeah. It's not great.
Knicks fans can't have good
things.
It's not
great. And the whole idea is like, oh, well, we're going to sign Jalen Brunson. No, you're not. It's not happening.
You know what's going to happen? Either Brunson signs and he's just going to be washed when he... Like, that's what happens with the Knicks.
Yeah.
Or Kyrie Irving is going to go there and it's going to be a bigger circus than ever.
Can you imagine a worse marriage of player and franchise than Kyrie Irving and the Knicks?
Let's add...
Guaranteed disaster.
You know what's more unstable than Kyrie Irving on his own? Add James Dolan to the mix. That'll be fun.
Like, how on earth is that going to work out? Anyways.
All right, we got this one. We got a few coming in. AP and Langley, don't at me, JT Miller finishes top five in scoring next season. Top five. Not top 10.
Woo!
Not top 15. Top five.
Depends where he's playing. Is he going to get those kind of minutes, those kinds of opportunities to be top five? This one I like from Mike and Victoria. Don't at me. Shohei Ohtani signs with the Blue Jays. 8 years, $50 million per year. Let's go. Sign me up. I am all in on that, Mike. Especially because...
You can use the pitching, too.
If our employer is giving out that kind of dough, things must be going well.
Absolutely.
For Rodgers.
So can you imagine the stock bump with Ohtani signing with the Blue Jays? Come
let's
on.
Let's go.
All right. That message was brought to you by Rodgers. Not really, but it kind of felt like it. 650. Don't at me. If Randeep goes to the French Grand Prix and doesn't get a future guest on 650, it's a complete failure. Marcus and Gibson's.
So you
want me to go on vacation and start chasing guests?
Yes, you got to work the paddock for us, man.
So, okay, the package that I ended up getting for the F1 race, there is pit lane access. So...
This is what I'm saying.
I'm going to be walking around with, like, the black book. Hey, Lewis, can you write your number here, please? Hey, Checo,
you want to do the show next week?
Yeah. 10 minutes in, I'm being ushered off the property.
Just tell him you work for Netflix. That's all right. I'm with Netflix. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Hey, I could be the next driver for Williams based on when the Latifi's driving.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Friend of the show. We got this one. Happy Schmeel in Van City. Is that like Stan Schmeel?
Apparently.
Okay. Don't at me. Ryan Johnson is the assistant to the assistant regional manager. Hashtag the office.
Okay. Oh, poor Ryan Johnson.
If Ryan Johnson is the Dwight Schrute, who is... Who's the other guy? Jim Halpert?
Oh, Jim Halpert.
Who's the
That's
foil
a great
in the
question.
Who's the foil in
the foil to Ryan Johnson? But it has to be somebody either a peer or lower. I don't know. Is it Derek Clancy? We don't know a lot about Derek Clancy's personality.
All right, Ben, can you book Derek Clancy on the show? We need to find out a little bit more about Derek Clancy.
He has to be a prankster.
Yeah.
That's all Jim does.
Somebody has to be somebody who really tries to get under Dwight's skin.
I
don't know if that exists.
I think Henrik Sedin's a bit of a prankster.
That's an interesting one.
Henrik is low-key. You don't see it very often, but he is hilarious behind
one of the Sedins is an interesting one. Yeah, I like that.
All right, don't at me. Stanley Cup. This one's from Jazzy. Don't at me. After this season, Cale Makar will not win another Stanley Cup.
It's a hot one.
Just based on, like, cap issues in a cap world, it's too much. You're going to be paying Nathan MacKinnon too much money? Maybe.
I like this one as well, unsigned. And remember, sign your text, because you're also playing for those Canadians tickets today. The best submission will win tickets to the Seas game on July 1st. So sign your text so you have a chance to win. This one says, don't at me. The Lightning will lose today, but they will win the Stanley Cup next year as nearly their entire core is returning. Now, they do have some. Obviously, Nick Paul's a UFA. Andre Palat is a UFA, but... Hedman, Kucherov, Stamkos, Vasilevsky, Bryn Point, they're all coming back. So they're going to be a contender again next year.
There's a couple of, like, tertiary pieces that you're wondering about, but what have Tampa shown? They can always replace those guys. They can always find the next Andre Palat. And I love Andre Palat, but at age 31, there's probably a couple of guys in that Syracuse system that can step up. Don't at me. Counter to the text that was in before, Miller doesn't crack top 30 scoring next
Woo!
Year. Forget top five, not even top 30, according to this texter.
Rager Texan, don't at me, but if you love someone, you let them go. The Angels should trade Ohtani and Trout and free them of the hell they're in.
Meanwhile, Anthony Rendon's like, what about me?
I think Trout signed the massive extension there, right? So I think Trout is comfortable. Ohtani, he's going to get his chance to go somewhere if he wants to.
All right, Max and Qualcomm coming in with, don't at me, the Canucks need to trade Horvat to make room for JT Miller's contract, sign him, and give him the C. Time to shake up the country club.
Is that Vic?
Yeah.
Vic's
we
listening.
Did not plan that.
We did not plan that.
Same thought. All right, keep them coming in through the break as well. We're going to pick the best one, announce the winner on the other side. But it is time for the best segment, the fastest growing segment in this universe, maybe even this galaxy, folks.
Yep.
Confession Friday is coming up next on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Final segment of the People's Show. Randy Janda, Jamie Dodd, getting you set for the weekend. And you know what Friday on the People's Show means? Confession Friday coming up. Go into the weekend stress-free, shoulder off or burden off your shoulders as well. Just getting you set for the weekend. 650, 650. Send in those confessions. Remember, sports takes, non-sports takes. You want to get something off your chest? Text it in. We're going to read it as long as we possibly can. But before we do that, don't at me. Today's winner, Mike and Victoria, don't at me. Shohei Ohtani signs with the Blue Jays. 8 years, $50 million per year. It got Jamie excited as a Blue Jays fan. Created a conversation. So, Mike, congratulations. You're going to the Vancouver Canadiens game against Spokane on Canada Day. Congratulations. It's a good vibe. That's it. Like, I got to get tickets to that. I don't even know if there's that many available.
I don't know. You better hit up Zickle.
I got to jump on that.
That's going to be a hot ticket.
Oh, it definitely will. Definitely it will. And I'm going to try to negotiate my way in, I'm sure. All right, 650, 650. It is the most popular segment in sports radio. In history.
Really in radio history. Let's not limit it to sports.
No, like, Howard Stern done anything better than this? Come on, get out of here. All right, let's play the intro. Join the movement that is Confession Friday.
I know you hate me. I know I hurt you. But there's more. Listen.
People in the butts.
He should have been playing in the minors.
Sports. Some weird things going down the toilet.
These are my confessions.
Man, that intro gets me every single time.
People in the butts will never, never not make me laugh.
Guys, if I retire tomorrow...
That's your legacy.
Is that my legacy?
If I go tomorrow,
is people in the butts my legacy?
It might be. It just might be. But you know what? Hey, it brings a smile to people's face, right?
It does.
It's a proud legacy.
It does. Yeah. Hey, that's what I aim for. I want to say I did it on purpose, but no. Confession Friday, folks. Send in those texts now, 650, 650. Starting off with this one. I think I might know who this is. I took the day off to fly to Turkey for the weekend.
Yeah, that one was signed. We keep you anonymous, but when we have an idea of who it might be, that one was signed Nizzy B in YVR.
At YVR, literally.
Yeah.
About to jump on a plane. If you don't know what we're talking about, Turkey, download the podcast.
Yes.
It's a running theme on this show.
Absolutely download the podcast. I like Confession Friday because we get some very serious, weighty confessions, you know, infidelity, people trying to get other people fired, things like that. We also get some very low stakes ones, so I gotta start us off with this one. Confession Friday, I have to admit that I once used the roasted peanuts code when I bought a huge bulk of cashews at Save On Foods.
Ooh.
Sounds like an Eddie Gregory move. Gaming the system at McDonald's.
Honestly, should have mentioned that yesterday. He was all about character.
That's a great point.
Stealing coffee from McDonald's.
That's a great point.
I can't wait for Eddie to be back on the show. Steve Ott, a.k.a. Randy Janda, will be using that one for next time. We got this one. I use highway on and off ramps to bypass large swaths of traffic on my travels to and from work. My favorite is eastbound on 264th Street. Sounds dangerous.
Is that against the law, though? Is that against the rules?
I don't think you're allowed to use exit and entrance. Like, people are trying to merge on to the
highway.
I don't know if that's smart, man.
So, I used to, for a very brief time before I was in sports radio, I was a traffic reporter, a traffic anchor on the radio, and I definitely once advised people to do that to avoid a large dust up on the highway. So maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Oh man, we got a bunch coming in. So yeah, I don't know about that one.
All right, hold on. I'll read this one.
Oh, you got that one?
Because I think you're the parenting one, right?
Go for
it. Look, okay, this is Confession Friday. I love my 18-month-old kid, but my favorite parts of the day are when she's napping and when she goes to the bed for the night. You don't need to feel guilty about that. That's a normal part of parenting. You need the downtime. You need the me time. You enjoy the other parts, too, but you got to get some relaxing time in there. So don't feel guilty about that. Don't worry. That's fine.
There you go. You're the authority on this. I'm going to refer to you on that
one. Come on. You know, that's a perfectly healthy part of parenting.
I can barely take care of myself. I'm not even
considering a kid at this point. That's absolutely true.
This one. I've been taking hour-long lunches at work. When I only get half hour, and sometimes that half hour is an hour and 15. So, it must be a...
Hey, like, if you can finesse it, if you can swing it.
Even if your boss is listening, it doesn't matter. It's not like I'm naming you.
We're not going to name you.
Maybe that person manages people.
The great thing about that one is... If they come to you, you can always pull the George Costanza, right? And you're like, I thought I got an hour. That's obviously I've been taking an
Play
hour
dumb.
Because I thought I got an hour.
Play dumb. This one, confession. I used to change the channel when you guys used to do passwords. I don't have to like it, but it's a confession. I'm hurt.
This is a really good one. Confession Friday. In grade 6, I cheated on an assignment where we had to write a short story. I copied word for word a short chapter in a book I had, but I changed any names, genders, and numbers. My teacher knew I had cheated, but couldn't prove it. She even told me I got an A.
Wow.
What a moment where your teacher comes to you and says, I know you cheated. Oh, I know you cheated, but I still have to give you an A on this one. And that's the kind of thing that wouldn't fly today, right? Because you just plug it in. You plug it into a search engine and it would come up.
Okay.
The teacher would have you in seconds.
We're well past it in terms of plagiarism and all that because I ain't going back to school. I barely made it through my bachelor's. Like, master's, not happening. PhD, yeah, no way. I considered it. Jamie, you went to law school.
Yes, this is true.
Yes. He's our own Lionel Hutz. Or Gil or
something
whoever.
Like that.
One of those guys. It was a thing back in the day. Before, like, the internet was consistently used. Oh, yeah. Like, people used to plagiarize their older sibling.
Not me.
Sure.
Maybe you.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
Backtracking now.
Did I use it as motivation? Absolutely. It motivated me, but I did not plagiarize. Would never do
such
a thing.
It was inspiration.
It helped. It guided me. Let's put that.
We've had a couple on a theme come in here that I want to read out. This one, Confession Friday. I stayed on the ice on purpose, just trying to catch McDavid for the best postseason plus minus. That one's from Nathan from Colorado. And there was another one that came in from Nate from Halifax. Confession Friday, it's true. I was still on the ice watching Kadri pot the winner. Do I get plus minus for credit? So there you go.
Good.
Nate McKinnon coming clean in our inbox. He knew exactly what was happening.
I'm glad he's listening to us on a game day.
Hey,
that's
great.
Unbelievable.
Call in, Nate.
This one, Confession Friday. I enjoyed McIntyre dunking on Randeep. Hey, Ian. Ian's got that. He's got some... You know what? I think Eddie Gregory would love Ian's... Intangibles. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
That was a good one. That was a good kind of out of nowhere from IMAX.
He doesn't do it often to me, but now I know what Riccio feels like.
But at least he didn't... That wasn't all he said, right? He kept the conversation going. You know,
he did provide an answer, but he checked me a little
bit. If he wanted to be really put you in check, he would have just left it at that.
A lot of parenting Confession Fridays. Confession Friday. When my kids were babies, I would put noise-canceling headphones on when they had crying fits.
That's just called good self-care. You got to take care of yourself. You got to take care of yourself. It's like, you know, on the airplane where they say if there's ever a situation and you have to put on the masks that drop down, take care of yourself first and then help the people with you. Same thing in parenting. You got to be okay to make sure you're giving them the best care.
Okay, does that change if, like, you put on the noise-canceling headphones and then you're, like, having, like, drink upon drink?
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Okay.
That's not ideal. But a lot of parents, they, like, okay, the kid's crying, I'll go in 5 minutes. So if you're going to just set the timer but have your noise-canceling headphones on, that's not a problem. That's no problem.
This one coming in. I'm not going to read that one, actually. Never mind. We see your Austin Matthews-related text.
Another one here. Confession Friday. My Raptors fandom left with Kawhi. I got what I wanted. Now back to real sports, like hockey.
Okay, I respect that take, though, because when the Raptors ended up winning their championship, didn't we all feel that? Didn't we all feel like, all right, this ain't going to last?
Yeah.
Like, you over there, Joe Schmo in the bar, you just heard of the Raptors for the first time. It's cool to get excited, but this ain't staying power. And that's okay. That's fine.
It was like a boom and bust stock. It went up really quickly, reached record heights, and then, oh, Kawhi's gone. Yeah, no, we're off the bandwagon. And it did not last a long time out here in Vancouver.
Hit us up with your confessions as well, 650, 650. Ben, how are you finding Confession Friday? Do you have anything to confess right now?
I don't want to confess anything on my first time doing solo.
Sounds like a scared young man.
We got another driving one that came in here. Confession Friday.
All right.
I use the HOV lane as a single driver in the mornings on Highway 1. Never ever cops there in the morning. In the evening, it's a little bit more risky. But he says, hey, if electric cars with single drivers can drive in there, so can I, right? Well, no, not actually, according to the law, but thank you for confessing.
I got this one. I'm going to have to edit it on the fly. I was once mistaken for Emilio Estevez, and I did not say I wasn't him. The person I ended up meeting that day was a big fan of the Mighty Ducks. I'm making this very PG.
Yes.
So said texture basically said, yes, I am Emilio Estevez. And they had a good time.
We had a few about people having good
Emilio!
Times. Having good times in different places today. This one is pretty out there. But Confession Friday, you know those circular racks of clothes you see in stores? I've, to use your language, Randeep, I've had a good time in the middle of one of those while people were shopping around us in the store.
Okay, so wait. It's not even a changing room. It's like the circular
no,
rack.
Just like the racks out on the floor of the store.
Imagine if you're just like, dude that's looking for like a golf shirt. Going through the rack. Is there a medium in here? What the hell is that? All right. Whether they're true or not, you text them in. We read it.
This is a really good one.
All right. What do you got?
Confession Friday. My girlfriend and I work at the same business. I love her more than anything in the world, but I look forward to the days when she stays home, even if it means I have to take the bus to and from work. I get it. You need some apart time.
Like, yeah.
Working and living together? That's a lot. That's a lot.
There's nothing more. Like, that one is reasonable to me. Where you're saying, like, all right, it's just too much.
Yeah.
It's just a little too much. The other one, remember one of our first Confession Fridays where it was a gentleman, or I think it was a gentleman.
Yes.
He texted in saying, I just need 45 to 50 minutes myself before I get home after
work. Yeah, I just sit in the car.
Just to mentally prepare. That one I find troubling.
That sounds like Jamie last week with Father's Day, just wanting the gift to be. I'd like.
Which, by the way, I did get my my nap in watching the final round of the U.S. Open, so I was very, very delighted by that one.
I can relate to this next one coming in here. Confession Friday. I made my way through high school band as a drummer without ever learning how to read music. I'd have other drummers play first and then play by memory after that.
Do you really need to read music as a drummer?
You started off. I got you.
Oh, okay. I see what we're doing here.
Why don't you take the lead on this?
I see what we're doing.
But at some point, didn't your teacher, like, okay, didn't they have, like, a test where you would actually eventually get tested? Like, you got found out at some point. But that's amazing.
That is.
Fake until you make it,
very,
baby.
Very, very good. Confession Friday. I was at Starbucks the other day, and before I grabbed my drink, I sneezed so hard that I uncontrollably farted at the exact same time and acted like it was nothing.
Is that not a skill? You shouldn't be confessing that. You should be yelling that from a rooftop.
You should be bragging?
Yes. Confession Friday. Every time I play beer league hockey, I jump on the ice with 30 seconds left if it's not a one-goal game. The refs never notice we have too many men on the ice until the buzzer goes.
Oh, dear.
So you're pulling a Kadri.
Confession Friday. I wear earplugs when visiting the in-laws. I have often nodded and smiled, having no clue what they just said to me.
That's smart, man. That is smart.
Isn't that like in The Simpsons, Homer wears the glasses or something so he can fall asleep during jury duty?
Yeah, they can
just, but it looks like his eyes are still open.
They can hear him snore. I think we've come on to something here with the plagiarism. Confession Friday. I used to write essays off a Wikipedia page. I'd take quick notes of points, then rewrite in my own words, and checked with the books from Wikipedia's references in case anyone questioned my research. So in your, basically, what your bibliography, the end of it,
Wikipedia.
You're
just copy from
citing
Wikipedia.
Your notes.
Yeah.
You're just using the references from Wikipedia's references.
That's pretty smart, actually.
Wow.
That's pretty smart.
That's wild.
And look, I think
smart though.
A lot of people have used Wikipedia and just reworded Wikipedia. That's different than plagiarism to me. That's in a different category.
Yeah, with at least plagiarism, you're actually cheating off something that is like
authoritative.
You'd hope so. I could jump in Wikipedia and change anything and say, Jamie Dodd is the mayor of Mission.
Yes. Hey, one day. Fingers crossed.
One day.
This one, Confession Friday. I waited until my in-laws bought their house to ensure that I bought as far away as possible. That's just smart. That's smart planning.
Wow. Oh, this one? More traffic ones. We really live with some monsters in our society.
Driving often brings out the worst in people.
It does. This one. I used to have a red and blue light in my car when I used to have to travel from an area to Vancouver to see my girlfriend. And I would turn on the red and blue lights during rush hour to get through traffic.
Ooh. That's a tough one.
Imitating a cop?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you just admitted to a crime.
Pretty sure you're not supposed to do that one. Driving and parenting are the themes of today's Confession Friday. This one, Confession Friday, I quite often take my kids' last granola bar in my lunch and leave my wife to deal with the fallout. See, to me, that's more of a parenting sin than enjoying your alone time or using the noise-canceling headphones. That's a bit of a tough one.
That is wild. This one as well. Confession Friday. I waited until my in-laws bought their house to ensure I bought after so I could be as far as away possible from them.
I'm telling you, that's just smart planning.
That's just... No, the market's not right now.
Yeah.
Just, you guys go ahead. I'm looking for a better spot.
You guys figure it out. Oh, and as it turns out, our best spot for us is over here. Oops.
Oh, you enjoy Vancouver? We're going out to Chilliwack. It's just a great market right
it's
now.
It's not a great trade, though.
If
it was Mission.
Shouts to Mission. We got a lot of text coming in. I might have read one twice. That's all good. 650, 650.
It happens.
There's a few that we had earlier on as well. We'll try to get back to them a little bit. Maybe next week. There's a lot coming in, so we weren't able to get everything. Keep them coming in, though. Send them in throughout the week. We'll save them for next week. But that's the show today. You got the Stanley Cup Final coming up here on Sportsnet 650. Canucks Central as well. But that is today's show. Hit up the podcast. We had Ian McIntyre on discussing the new additions to the Canucks front office. We, of course, had Arturo Cal in hour one of the show talking about the Stanley Cup Final. And Adnan Virk in hour two of the show. So make sure you download, subscribe, hit us with a 5-star rating, and give us a review as well. If you give us a review, I don't care how colorful it is. We might even read it as well. Just give us a review and a 5-star rating. That's the weekend, boys. For Jamie Dodd, for Ben Bassarin, I'm Randeep Janda. We will talk to you next week on Monday. Have a great and safe weekend.